spoke to Mark chapter 2, beginning of verse 9. Those who are listening by the means, please give us a call at 856-261-9018 to say hello or ask a question or just comment. Or call us for an email, questions@bftbc.org. Find Mark chapter 2. We begin today at verse number 9. Let's read verses 9, 10, and 11, starting with verse 9 together. Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, and take up thy bed and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way unto thy own house. Find verse number 9. What two alternatives the Lord asked this man or these people that were objecting? What two alternatives?
Which is easier?
Which is easier? What two things?
If thy sins be forgiven or to arise and...
Sins forgiven or to heal this man. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ has power to do both. He's got the power to do either one. Did the people that were listening to him believe he could forgive sins?
No.
What was their question? What was their position?
Only God can
forgive sins. Was Jesus God?
Yes.
Yes, God the Son. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He was God. And so he did, by sins, rise and take up the bed. Did the lame person rise?
Yes.
Did he walk?
Yes.
Yes, he did. God answered that prayer where Jesus healed him. And the verse number 2 says, he wanted to teach them to know something. What did they want? What did he want them to know? These people have doubted his miracles.
The word.
Why? What word? That you may know what? Verse 10.
The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins.
He has power on earth to forgive sins. Does he have power in heaven as well as on earth to forgive sins?
Yes.
On what basis does he forgive sins today?
He entered the Holy of Holies in heaven with his own blood.
All right, but on what basis does he forgive sins of people today? The basis of his death, but what will entitle forgiveness of sins today to people?
Faith
in the shed blood. Must be genuinely born again. Must be true Christians.
Uh-huh.
Can he forgive or does he forgive sins of unbelievers?
No.
No. Did he die for the sins of unbelievers?
Yes.
But what is necessary for these unbelievers?
Believe.
To trust in that Savior that died for them and accept him and receive him as their Savior. Then forgiveness will be theirs. So he wanted to know very clearly that the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins for on earth. And he said, sick of the palsy. In verse number 11, he said again, arise, take up the bed, go that way. Where did he say to go? Where did he go?
Into thine house.
Into your house. Well, I just want to tell the people. Let's read verses 12. What is it?
I was looking at verse 11.
Yeah. Let's read verse 12, 13. And 14. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. By verse 12, how long did it take this man to rise up and go?
Immediately.
Didn't take long. It was an instantaneous miracle. And where did he go?
He went forth before
them. Just went forth before them all. And what was their reaction of the crowd when they saw him?
They were amazed.
What else did they do?
Glorified God.
Never saw it. This is a miracle. Never saw this before in their life. And then verse 13, who's the he referred to?
Jesus.
Lord Jesus Christ. When he went forth, where'd he go?
By the sea.
So there by Galilee, Sea of Galilee. And was there just a very few people there?
No.
Multitude.
Multitude was there. And I get my pen up here. Sea of Galilee right here. See the Sea of Galilee right here. That's where they were. Right there, Galilee. Jerusalem's down here, and Galilee's up in there. That's where they were. A multitude was gathered and resorted. What does it mean, resorted?
Came,
all right. We have resorts, of course, people who go. This they came all together. They came unto him. Now, why did they come to that resort or that sea? What do a lot of people go to the seashore for?
Vacation.
Sunburn.
Vacation, get sunburn, all right. But why did these people go?
They
to follow Jesus Christ.
They came, that's interesting, they came unto him, and what did he do to them?
He taught them.
Lord Jesus is a teacher. The teacher went forth to teach. He's a master. He's called master. He's a teacher. He's the Son of God, God the Son, perfect deity, perfect humanity. So he taught them. Then in verse 14, what does it mean as he passed by? Where was he going?
He's walking amongst the people.
Could be walking among the people. And what did he see? Who did he see?
Levi.
All right. Son of Alphaeus, what was he doing?
Sitting at the receipt of
what was his occupation?
Tax collector.
And what did he say to this tax collector?
Follow me.
Now, what does the tax collector do?
Take money.
Collects taxes.
And what was the custom of tax collectors in those days?
Over-collect.
Over-collect. Yeah. What did they do with the overage?
They kept it
themselves. They were cheats.
Just like politicians today.
Right? And what did this tax collector do when the Lord Jesus said, follow me?
He arose and followed.
Right. What other four people had the same question, the same command given to them before?
James and John.
Peter and Andrew. Chapter 1. So here was this fifth person. He said, follow me. Did he obey?
Yes.
All right. He rose and followed him. What did he do with the money, I wonder?
Just left it.
Probably left the money. He followed him. And then in verse 15, we read 15, didn't we?
Yeah.
No?
No, not yet.
Oh, literally 15, 16, and 17 together. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat and ate in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. All right, verse 15. Those that have questions at bfbgc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or questions or comments. I'd like to hear from you. So verse 15, where was Jesus here?
Matthew's house.
All right, in the house, in his house. And of course, we know from other scriptures that Levi was who?
Matthew.
He was Matthew, the disciple Matthew, the apostle Matthew. So he, what does it mean, sit and meet?
Eating.
It's just food. That's just the custom, just a way of saying it. And who was there also?
Other times.
Publicans and? And who else?
Sinners.
And sinners. All right, so they were there. They sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. Many that followed him. Now, who's that following him referred to, you think, maybe? Who do you think that refers to? The ones that many that followed him?
Publicans and sinners.
Probably for publicans and sinners. That would be the context there, verse 15. And then verse 16, who are the opposition people?
Scribes and Pharisees.
What does a scribe do?
He copies
the scripture. What do the Pharisees do?
They're lawyers.
Interpret. They're leaders. They're lawyers. They argue.
Yeah.
And what did they see in verse 16?
They were eating together.
They saw the Lord Jesus Christ eating with these publicans and sinners. And did they do anything about it? In verse 16?
Yes, they complained.
They complained. What did they say? Did they ask a question? What was their question?
They're asking the disciples, why are they eating with him? So they were accusing the Lord before his disciples.
Before his disciples. And what was their question again?
Why are they eating with them?
Why are they eating? Why is he eating and drinking with these publicans and sinners? Let me ask you this. What's the difference between eating with publicans and sinners and participating in the sins of publicans and sinners? What's the difference? Is there a difference?
Well, yes.
What's the difference?
Well, we just got back from Wendy's. I mean, everybody has a right to eat.
All right.
But we weren't, I don't know what the other people were doing, but if they had sin in their life, we weren't participating.
Exactly. So in other words, eating with people that are around, that's one thing. So there's a close fellowship. There's a distant fellowship. Was the Lord Jesus trying to minister to the public sinners?
Yes.
Did he minister to one in this very chapter?
Yes.
What was his name?
Matthew.
Matthew or Levi. And so perhaps in these public sinners, remember it says they followed him. There were many that followed him. Now, they may not have been converted yet, but it's possible they might be converted. So the Pharisees didn't want him to even eat with the public sinners.
Dr. Wayne?
Yes.
The publicans and sinners sat. and the scribes and the Pharisees saw.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference is proximity.
Yeah.
And so if you only want to see something, people rubberneck at an accident.
Yeah.
It's different than being in the accident.
That's true. So they saw, and the prophets and sinners sat. All right, so they criticized him. Did we read 17 yet? Yeah, we read 17, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
So when Jesus heard the criticism of the public sinners, what did he say to them?
They that are whole. If you're healthy, you don't need a doctor.
The physician, those that are whole have no need of a physician. Who is he referring to there?
The scribes and Pharisees.
Were they really whole?
No.
Did they think they were whole?
Yes.
Did they think they needed no physician?
Say that again.
They didn't think they needed any physician? Did they think they needed the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? No, they didn't want anything to do with him. Now, they that are whole need no physician, but they that are sick. Now, the sick ones are always, the people that are sick know they're sick always?
No.
They don't always,
always
usually
right.
do, but they're not always.
Yeah,
right. The people that are lost and hell-bound sinners today know that they're sinners and hell-bound and going to hell? No, but they are. They're sick, but they don't know they're sick necessarily. What tells them that they're sick? How are they going to know? How
they sin.
They sin? What else? Who tells them they're sinners? How do we know they're sinners?
How can they hear without a preacher?
Without a preacher. What tells them that they're sinners and going to hell?
Conviction.
The Word of God, the Scriptures. That's the thing that's a tip-off. You won't read it in the funny papers and the movies or television or internet, but they that are sick. And then why did the Lord Jesus come into this world in verse 17? Why did he not come in?
Seeking to save that which was lost.
Seeking to save that which was lost. Not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Repentance means what? Greek word?
Metanoia.
Metanoia. And meta is a change, and noia for the mind, change of the mind. See, agreeing with God that they're sinners, and they called. Now, did all the people who were sinners in this world come to the Lord Jesus and be saved?
No,
but that was his purpose, that was his mission. And that was the gospel that we should tell other people as well. Did we read beyond that?
No, I think that was it.
Okay, so that was verse 17. Let's read 8.
Before we go on, may I?
Yes.
You're either slaves of sin or slaves of righteousness, according to Paul in Romans. And I find it interesting that I came not to call the righteous, but you have a conjunction, what goes on one side goes on to the other. So it is the righteous as well as the sinner. So you're either in one camp or the other. There's no middle ground here.
Yeah, no middle ground. Either righteous or sinners. Now, does that mean sinners? Does that mean the sinners? Well, there are people that are righteous. Now, are the righteous? Do the righteous have sin? Righteous have sin?
Yes,
they do. But their sins have been paid for, but they still have sin. There's no righteous person that's sinlessly perfect, although some churches teach that. What are the churches that teach sinless perfection?
Nazarene.
Yeah. Nazarene?
No.
Some Pentecostals?
I don't think so.
Holiness.
Holiness?
Yeah, that's the one, holiness. Oh,
holiness people do?
The Catholics teach perfection as well.
Well, I'm not sure, but anyhow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
But the Nazarenes, the ones that are people of the Arminian philosophy, many of the Arminians, teach the perfection, but it can't be perfect. You have the old sin nature, and in fact, so that's 70. Did we read 18 yet? We haven't read 18 yet.
No.
Let's read 18, 19, and 20 together. And the disciples of John and the Pharisees used the fact, and they came and said to him, "Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not?" And Jesus said unto them, "Can the children of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the day shall come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days." Why verse 18? Disciples of John, which John was this?
John
the Baptist. And the Pharisees used to fast. What does that mean, to fast?
Abstaining from food and drink.
Abstaining from certain foods at certain times, certain seasons. All right, is the New Testament telling us that, or just in the Old Testament, basically? Basic Old Testament is what they did in the Old Testament, and some Christians believe that's what they do, so they fast. But the Pharisees used to fast, and they came unto him, and they asked the question. What question did they ask Lord Jesus on this occasion, the Pharisees?
Why do
Why don't the disciples of John, why do the disciples not fast, and yet your disciples do not fast? And so they wondered about that. What the answer is, verse 19? What's the Lord Jesus' answer?
He's with them, so...
He's the children
when
of the bridegroom.
When the bridegroom is with them, they cannot fast.
All right. When the bridegroom is taken away, then they will fast, as it says in verse 20.
To himself.
What is it?
The bridegroom referring to himself.
The bridegroom referring to himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will be taken away and from them, then shall they fast in those days. So the disciples, the apostles, after the Lord was taken away and death, and then raised again and sent up to heaven, and then they began to fast. Okay, did we read 21?
Why did they want to fast to begin with? Why were they fasting?
Well, because they wanted a copy of John the Baptist, I guess.
They fasted. They were, by tradition, I believe, they fasted 3 days a week.
Yeah.
3 days a week?
Yeah.
Whatever the Old Testament rules were, they wanted to follow, and John the Baptist followed it, so why didn't
you
recite
them? Why were
they fasting? Well, just fight to Anna and then to Bill.
Wasn't the idea that, in times of trouble, you might not feel like eating, so you're so much concerned about something that you can't really eat, and so you devote your attention to prayer, and because you're so troubled, you can't eat, so you don't eat.
Bill and then Tammy.
Anna is right, but there's also some others that practice fasting because they are hungry, they want to eat, and for discipline purposes, they abstain from eating to keep their mind focused on God.
Mm-hmm. Tammy.
We're thinking of the book of Esther. Mordecai, mm-hmm. when he fasted, when he found out about the decree that was issued against them, and the king had said they were going to kill the Jews, and he asked, and then Esther asked him to also fast and pray because she was going to go in and talk to King Ahasuerus, and she didn't know if she would end up dying. So there were times of great spiritual, just basically adding on to what Anna said, that the Jews would fast and pray when they were mourning and they were seeking God.
What does it take to get food together in the New Testament times?
Work.
Time. What do you do? What do you have to do? What do you have to
grow it
assemble?
First.
Has to grow? And once it's grown?
Then you have to harvest it.
Harvest it?
And then you have to prepare it.
Prepare it? It takes time, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And the time that you can take to a lot, prayer, thinking things of the Lord. So that's one of the things that they do. Instead of eating, they could pray and they could serve the Lord in that way. So that was the reason for many of the fasts and fasting and prayer.
Excuse me, yes. Asking them, what were they praying about? I just wonder.
Well, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 7, which is New Testament, but still it's under the, it's before the Bible is completed, sexual relations apart of husband and wife, if they agreed, there are different things, abstain, that you may give yourself to fasting for some good purpose for abstaining from married love. That's one of the things for fasting and prayer.
But what were they fasting and praying? Excuse me for asking this, but I just wondered.
It could be anything. Maybe your mother's sick.
Any need at all, yes.
Maybe the country is in distress. Yeah, just about anything.
Okay.
Early American history, John Adams, I was amazed at how often they called for fasting and prayer in this country to pray for it.
Yeah, this is what was practiced. All right, what verse did we stop on? Verse 21? Verse 20?
We haven't read 21 yet.
Did we read 20 yet?
We've read 20.
That's right, 21, 22, and 23 together.
But
we haven't discussed
19.
We haven't discussed, where did we stop?
I think we stopped at 21. Verse 19, aren't we?
Still 19.
Discussing 19.
All right, can the chamber of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with us as long as they have the bridegroom? They cannot fast. And then in verse 20, the day shall come and the bridegroom shall be taken away from them. When did that take place?
When the Lord Jesus was crucified, and then at the
how long was he here?
At the ascension.
3 days.
40 days. 40 days, and then the ascension was taken away. And remember, he said, if I go away, I will send a comforter. The Holy Spirit will come unto you. And the Holy Spirit did come. So days will come, taken away, then shall they fast in those days. We didn't read the, we read 21, didn't we?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Well, let's read 21.
22, 23.
You're right.
Well, let's, did we read them?
18, 19,
no, we 20, have to read 20.
Right. Well, let's read 21, okay. 22, 23. No man also saw the piece of the new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that is filled up is taken away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else though the new wine should burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, the bottles will be marred. New wine is to be put into new bottles. And it came to pass, that he went into the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and the disciples began, as they went, to pluck the ears of corn. Find verse number 21. What is the sawing about new cloth on an old garment? What's the problem there?
Well, the old cloth is rotten, and the new cloth is new and strong, so
all
that
right.
If you put it in there, it'll rip out. It won't
right.
hold.
And they're making a patch.
Again,
they're
patch?
They're patching up the coat, whatever he has.
What does it mean, the new piece that is filled, when it's filled it up,
that's
take it up
patch that you put
away from the old.
Sewn
the rent is made worse. Yes, Tammy.
The new fabric is not necessarily, it may not be shrunk. Maybe. That could be part
maybe.
Of it too. So it's not worn, and so over time it will pull the rest of the fabric, the older fabric.
What is the interpretation and explanation, I think, of this verse 21? What could we say is interpreting from this?
Don't match your clothes.
Well,
the old covenant.
It could be the old covenant, Israel's covenant. Should not be a part of the new covenant, the Lord Jesus. That's certainly the case, I'm sure. And then in verse 22, similar case. What about the wine in the bottles? Or wineskins, as the case may be.
It's the good one.
The old wineskins would have been brittle. New wine is effervescent like 7-Up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put it in an old wineskin that's brittle, it will absolutely just explode it.
I've never seen that done.
So the bottles will be marred.
You haven't lived in Germany.
New wine,
I drink a lot of wine.
New wine must be put into new bottles.
That's
yeah. Now, we don't drink wine in our church, but even though Anthony may, but we're against the drinking of any alcoholic beverage in our church.
That's okay.
We're dead set against it. And we think it's a mar against the body that God has given to us. So that's, the bottles will burst, and so that's what he says, not to do that. And then in verse 23, where did the Lord Jesus go here?
To a cornfield.
Cornfields. All right, who was there with him? What was the day again?
Sabbath.
What day of the week is that?
Saturday.
And what did the disciples do?
Checking
the corn. Here's
the corn.
All right, let's read verse 24, 25, and 26 together. I thought that would be. Anybody want to discuss 23?
Well, the things that they were allowed to do on the Sabbath, I don't even think they were supposed to be walking through the cornfield.
But possibly not. But I thought that was clear on 23. But is there any discussion on 23? Well, that's what they were doing. And. Yes, Pastor Dan.
Can we go first? Tammy's thought was first.
No, please go ahead.
I forgot what it was.
No, I don't want you to say.
Well, under normal circumstances, though, people wouldn't have a problem with them plucking corn and having a snack as they walk through the field. Because this was the Sabbath day, they were taking issue to that point and saying they were working by doing the act of plucking, by removing the ear of corn from the stalk and eating it. So they were expressed the concern about that. They're being very nitpicky.
That's the next verse. The next verse, that's the problem of verse 24, isn't it? Now let's read 24. Let's go with 24, 25, 26. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on this Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have ye never read what David did when he had need and was in hunger, and he and they that were with him? How that he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest, and gave also to them which were with him. Read 27, 28 also. And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Right 25, what was the complaint 24 rather, what's the complaint of the Pharisees?
They were breaking the law.
All right. Now, have you ever eaten raw corn?
Probably.
Yes.
Yes, I have.
You have? How does it taste?
Like raw corn.
It's not tasty,
okay.
I'll tell you that.
Okay. It wasn't cooked.
All right, do you ever eat it right off the cob?
Yeah.
Raw?
Yeah,
I think so. When you're a child, you do a lot of things.
Yeah, Anna, I've never had the raw corn. Go ahead.
Remind me, I thought, Bonnie, is this corn in the same sense of corn as sweet corn? Or was it a different type of grain? But they just called it corn.
I imagine it's the same kind.
They call it wheat, I think, sometimes.
Corn is grain.
It's all cooked.
It's interesting because in German, corn does not mean C-O-R-N. It means grain in general, and these were probably wheat fields.
Could be.
I remember, though, it doesn't mean corn like corn on the cob.
Well, it's wheat.
Okay.
Maize, there was a new phenomenon when they came here. And
yeah.
They were like, what is
but
this
it
stuff?
Says they plucked it.
Yeah, they
plucked
yeah.
it.
They
had to pluck something.
Plucked ears of corn.
Ears of corn.
Corn came from the New World.
Yeah.
But they plucked ears of corn.
Yes.
It seems pretty definite that it's ears of corn.
It's regular ears of corn, yes.
Yeah, I guess.
So, they shouldn't do it on the Sabbath. Pharisees objected to verse 24. What was the objection to the Pharisees?
It's working on the Sabbath.
Working on the Sabbath. All right, Saturdays.
Leviticus 20:10, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou and thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within my gate.
So this was working, and of course under the law of Moses, this was against the law. And then verse 25, well, the answer the Lord Jesus gave was what? What illustration did he give?
David.
Why was David in the temple or in the tabernacle? Yes,
it was 1 Samuel 21.
What was?
He was fleeing from Saul for
fleeing
his
from
life.
Saul.
And he needed some food and he needed for his men, because there were some men with him that were had also fled. And he also needed a weapon. So he went to a Ahimelech, the priest. And
Abiathar?
No, Ahimelech.
But in verse 26 is Abiathar, but anyhow, go ahead.
Well, in verse 2, it says, and he said, tell Ahimelech the priest.
Maybe it's the days of Abiathar, the high priest, but Ahimelech maybe was just a regular priest. Abiathar
was
the chief priest.
He was the one he was talking to.
Right, okay.
He would have been the priest on duty.
And he said, there's no common bread under mine hand, verse 4. But there is hollow bread if the young man have kept themselves, at least from women. So he gave him that bread.
And so that was proper to do. And what happened to the priests that were there after Doeg the Edomite told?
They were slain.
Slain. Just one left. One was,
except
the one. That's right. One was freed, but all of them were slain. Terrible slaughter.
That was the judgment
on Eli. Yes, judgment on Eli's band. It's too bad for poor David. I'm sure he didn't think that was very nice to have the killing because of his what he was doing. And then what was the reputation of the Lord? Yes, excuse me, Anna.
And then when David heard about it, then he say something like, oh yes, I saw Doeg the Edomite there, and I should have known that he was trouble.
We had a problem. Yeah.
Terrible, godless Edomite. So what was the Lord's explanation of this whole thing in verse 27 as far as the Sabbath? And
28. The Sabbath was made for man.
All right.
It's not man for
the
Sabbath.
A man for the Sabbath. And what is in verse 28 the rule?
The Lord Jesus,
the Lord of the Sabbath. So he could change that. He could change the use of the Sabbath, and he did. And he just forsook that as far as eating the corn on the Sabbath day. Yes, Tammy, and
that's fine. So by that phrase in verse 27, he was saying that it was for the man's benefit.
Yes.
And so, you know, you're making it legalistic and you're destroying, you know, the purpose of it.
Right. Yvonne?
Well, just anybody could not come in there and start eating that because he was Lord on the Sabbath. He could do it. I don't think it was acceptable for anybody to go in there and do that. Maybe it was.
Did the Lord Jesus reinterpret the idea of the Sabbath keeping here? But how did he reinterpret? What did he determine? How did it differ with the Old Testament Sabbath and this New Testament use of the Sabbath? How did it differ?
Well, it was permitted.
It was permitted. He said, "I'm the Lord of the Sabbath." What's that mean?
It was all under his, whatever it was under his control.
Under his control. In other words, that may be Old Testament, but now I'm the New Testament. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Come here, and this is fine to do on the Sabbath day. Don't be so literal. Old Testament, New Testament. Yes, so Tammy, Anna, I mean, Fawn, and Barbara.
So rather than being a slave to the law, they should be a slave to the Lord.
Slave to the Lord. That's right. Yvonne?
Well, at this time, they all were under the law.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But he's
I always forget that. I forget.
He's reinterpreting some of these things.
Yeah.
In this New Testament section. Yes, Barbara?
Pardon me? Is he
doing
proper interpretation?
Oh, proper. Oh, yes. He's proper. Oh, yes. So he's the one that made the law. Yes.
But the law was that only the priests could eat the showbread.
Right.
However, the higher law of charity is what Ahimelech was observing, which is because of the circumstances, he allowed David to do what he did. So the higher law is love, which goes back to 1 Corinthians 13.
Mm-hmm. How often was the showbread changed?
Every day.
Daily. So this was old bread. It was taken off the showbread. The old bread was normally for the priest. They had fresh bread on the showbread place. So, all right, any other comments or questions on chapter 2? All right, the Lord is the Lord of the Sabbath, and we've got to remember that. Is Sabbath keeping scriptural today?
No.
No, it's not. Anna, go ahead.
Good. I was looking at 1 Samuel 22:21-22. Mm-hmm. I'll just read verse here. And Abathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said unto Abathar, "I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, 'I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life, but with me thou shalt be in safeguard.'"
All right. Any other comments on chapter 2? Let's go on to chapter 3, Mark chapter 3. Let's read verses 1. 2 and 3. Before we do, those who have questions, give us a call at 856-261-9018 or a comment, questions at bftbc.org. Let's read verses 1, 2, and 3 from chapter 3. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which hath the withered hand, "Stand forth." Why verse 1, who's that he referred to?
Jesus.
Lord Jesus himself went to the synagogue. What was the synagogue again?
Gathering place.
Soon and Gago, to gather together place where the Jews gathered. And who was in the synagogue at this time, among other things?
Man
with a withered hand. What is a withered hand, man? What does that mean?
It was crippled something.
Crippled some kind. All right. And verse 2?
Maybe it's a little smaller than
possible. In verse 2, what was occurring there? Who's the they referred to?
She's like, probably scribes and Pharisees.
Who is it?
Scribes and Pharisees.
Probably the scribes, probably the Pharisees, the Jews, very astute Jews. What did they do? What did these lay people do in verse 2?
They were marking him for...
Looking at him.
Doing to see if he was going to do something wrong.
Okay, Vaughn?
I missed it. Who went into the synagogue?
The Lord Jesus entered into the synagogue.
When he entered it, okay.
Yes, and the man with the withered hand, he also was there. A lot of Jews in the synagogue. Yes, pardon?
He went to the synagogue after he plucked ears of corn. They'd already caught him once, so now they're looking again.
They're looking again. A lot of Jews, and they watched him. What would be involved? Why were they watching him?
They wanted to catch him up on something.
Catch him again the second time. Mm-hmm. What are they looking for?
He would heal.
Well, they would heal on the Sabbath. That they might do what?
Accuse him.
What does it mean to accuse somebody?
They wanted to report him.
Something illegal.
Reporting something illegal. And so they watched him.
They didn't care about anybody getting healed.
They were going to judge him.
And in verse, they want to judge him, all right? And verse number 3, what did the Lord Jesus say to this man with the withered hand?
Stand forth.
All right?
I'll stand first before I serve
them. He said, stand forth. What does that mean, stand forth?
Hold it.
Out forward.
Stand out of the way?
Could be out of the forward. Probably come forward, maybe come
out
forward.
Out of the crowd?
Maybe step up.
It says here immediately.
It could be. No. Says immediate. Where does it say that? In the footnote?
Yes.
Stand forth.
Out forward.
Stand forward.
Forward.
Okay.
I wanted to ask him questions. Hold it. I want to ask you a couple of questions.
Yeah. Well, stand forth in the sense of come forward. See, come forward. I want to see you. There's a big crowd. The synagogue, a lot of Jews, a lot of people. Come on over where I am. See, come forward.
People that go to the synagogues are Jews.
Oh, yes. But you stand forth. Come on forth. Come closer to me. All right, verse 4, 5, and 6. Let's read that. He saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. All right, in verse number 4. What question did the Lord ask these Pharisees?
Is it lawful to do good?
Or do evil? Save life or to kill? Did they give him an answer?
They held their peace, but it was lawful for them to do good on the Sabbath.
That's right. They didn't say a word, did they?
That's right.
And then in verse 5, who's the he referred to?
Jesus.
Lord Jesus. What did he do?
He was angry.
He was mad.
He looked around to these Pharisees that were judging him with anger. Was the Lord Jesus angry at different times in his life?
Yes.
Is anger necessarily always sin?
No.
What does anger mean? Anger against wickedness. Should we be angry against sin and wickedness in our lives?
Yes.
Yes, we should. Remember, it says, be angry, but sin not. Let not the sun go down upon thy wrath, which is orge, which is a very, very uncontrolled emotion. But be angry. We've got to be angry against any sin in our whole country, in our own lives, against our own flesh, the devil, the world. So he was angry. What other occasion was the Lord Jesus angry?
Cleanse the temple.
He looked upon them very angry. So it was righteous indignation. What's the difference between righteous indignation and just plain indignation? What's
he
the difference?
He was angry.
Well,
the object
is not working like the flesh.
That was right.
Not work. What was it on?
I said if his wife is wrong, if his husband is right.
Well, I didn't define husband or wife. I'm saying, what is the difference between righteous indignation and indignation?
Flesh.
What's that?
It's not a work of the flesh.
All right.
It's a work of the spirit.
Okay.
If it's righteous indignation.
It is. If it's righteously.
The object. The object of the indignation has something to do with it.
All right, and what should the object of the indignation be?
Sin.
Sin, wickedness, corruption. Yeah, Anna?
I think there's a certain time to be angry. Like, if you see someone who's punching someone else for no reason, then, that's the time where righteous indignation will be valid. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you see someone who's, if someone's just, annoying you by... Mm-hmm. tapping their fingers or something, that's not really a reason to get angry.
Right. So, he was angry. I want you to be very clear. As it says in Ephesians, never be angry, but sin not, let not the sun go down upon thy wrath, which is uncontrolled anger. There's a difference, isn't there? And so, we should be angry against all kinds of sin, any kinds of sin, whatever it may be. Whether it's the sin of adultery, sin of drunkenness, sin of fornication, sin of lying, cheating, stealing, all these commandments of the Lord. We should be angry against that. So, being grieved, what does grieved mean in verse number 5?
Distress.
The hardness of their hearts. What does that mean?
They had no heart.
Had no heart. They were hard-hearted. Yes, and he's grieved for that. And so what did he do when they saw that hardness of heart? Verse number 5.
He healed the man with the...
All right.
Bad hand.
He said,
restored
it. Stretch forth thy hand. Let's see what we got over here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rob from Chicago. Go ahead, Rob.
Hi, Pastor. I'm back to it. I just wanted to remind everyone that on this verse here that about anger, in Matthew 5:22, where I omit the important phrase that whosoever is angry with his brother, and then they omit the phrase without a cause,
yes,
shall be in danger of the judgment and the hellfire.
Mm-hmm.
And here in Mark 3, yes, Jesus was angry, but he did have a cause.
Yes, very good. Thanks, Rob. Let's wave you off in Chicago. Thank you very much. All right, so there was a cause, and stretch forth thy hand, and did the man obey the Lord in verse 5?
Yes.
He stretched his hand. What happened?
His hand was restored whole.
Whole as the other. So apparently only one hand was there. What other person in the Bible had a withered hand?
Jeroboam.
Jeroboam, okay. Why did he have a withered hand?
Because he was offering idols and author at Bethel.
All right.
Offering sacrifices, rather, at
okay.
the altar of Bethel.
All right. Who else had a withered hand? Temporarily, at least, in the Old Testament.
Moses.
Why did he have a withered hand?
Oh, yeah. To show him that power.
There was a sign, wasn't it?
Yeah, he and the Lord were.
God told him to put the hand in, and when it turned out, it was whole.
I forgot about him.
So he was made whole as the other.
It was a leprous.
Pardon me?
Leprous.
It was leprous.
It was leprous. Oh, sure, leprous. There, it was a hand. I guess it should say with the hands. All right.
Similar situation.
Did we read 6? Yeah, we read 6 then. So what happened at this point in verse 6?
The Pharisees went forth.
So they got out of there. They left, but they probably were in the synagogue criticizing, condemning. Remember, they held their peace. They didn't say anything. They held their peace. And then what did they do immediately? What does straightway mean?
Right away.
What did they do?
They kind of took counsel.
What does it mean to take counsel? See a lawyer. All right, well, they didn't have a lawyer.
They
just talked together and just figured the thing out.
Yeah.
What they want to do? Who are the Herodians, by the way? Followers of Herod. And there were people counsel with Herodians against him. Who's the him? The man with the withered hand?
Lord
Jesus. What did they want to do with him?
They didn't want to destroy him.
They didn't want to change his view on the Sabbath. They wanted to destroy him.
Uh-huh.
Yes, Barbara?
The Herodians were followers of Herod. Herod had Hellenized what was called in Roman times Judea, which was what we would call Israel.
Uh-huh.
He was a lackey of Rome. He was the equivalent of Caesar Augustus in Israel. Therefore, the Herodians were basically pro-Roman.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible.
Right.
And therefore, it was turning political.
All right, so they wanted to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. Did they succeed eventually? Excuse me, Tammy.
This is backing up a hair.
All right.
About the withered hand.
Mm-hmm.
In 1 Kings 13, verse 4, it says, "And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of a man of God which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so he could not pull it in again to him."
Mm-hmm. So that's the Old Testament withered hand?
1 Kings 13.
Oh, thanks, Danny.
Verse 4.
So they did succeed in destroying the Lord Jesus. Did we read 7 yet?
No.
Not yet. Let's read 7, 8, and 9 together. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon, great multitude, when they had heard the great things he did, came unto him. He spake to his disciples that a small ship would wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. Right, in verse number 6, was it? Pharisee went forth straightway. No, it's verse 7. Disciples to the sea. Here again, the Sea of Galilee. Here's the Sea of Galilee right here. That's where he withdrew. And disciples with him. And were very many people there around Galilee at that time?
Yeah, multitudes.
Multitudes. And where did they come from? What's the first place they came from?
Galilee.
So Galilee is right here, see, that's Galilee.
They came from all over.
Where else?
Judea.
Judea, which would be down.
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem down here. Jerusalem.
Idumea.
Jordan.
Judea.
Tyre.
Jordan is over
all
here.
All those places.
And Idumea, where's Idumea? Let me see.
It's got to be the same area. It's not that big.
Well, we don't know where Idumea is, but Caesarea Philippi. Here's Iturea, that's not Idumea.
No.
Alright, what else? Idumea. Beyond Jordan. The Jordan River, which is a dividing mark. That would be over here. This is the...
So in the 2.5 tribe.
Yeah. This, we're here on this other side of Jordan.
Seven places I counted.
Seven places. And from Judea, Galilee, Jerusalem, Idumea, beyond Jordan, Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon is up here. Here's Tyre, see? Here's Sidon, way up there, see?
Uh-huh.
Just think of the number of miles that were covered. They all just flocked to hear the Lord Jesus Christ.
And yeah, they didn't have cars.
No, there were multitudes from all these different places. And not just a multitude, but what does it say about the multitude in verse 8?
It's a great multitude.
Great multitude. And when they heard the great things, why did they come again in verse 8? Why did they come?
They heard the great things
that he did. They came unto him. Now, were they looking to him or looking to see miracles, I wonder?
It was a miracle.
Probably the miracles. Probably all these different things.
He restored a hand.
Yes. They were...
withered hand.
Yes. See, it's like the woman, the people that gathered at the Sea of Galilee with the feeding of the 5,000. He left, and they followed him. And what did the Lord Jesus say about those that followed him after the miracles? That's right. You didn't go because you saw the miracles. You ate the bread and were satisfied. They were out for food. They followed the Lord Jesus for food. And so some people who see the miracles, they look for their ambulance chasers. What does that mean?
Lawyers.
Lawyers are drumming up business.
But what is an ambulance? We say an ambulance chaser, or a fire truck chaser. What do we call those people?
Ambulance chases are when there's an accident, car accident,
mm-hmm.
and the ambulance has to come, you see them come.
But people that chase fire trucks and fire engines and the police,
they want to see what the action is.
They want to see the action. They want to see the activity, mm-hmm. the miracle, that whatever the accident is, they're looking for that. And so maybe that's why these people came. They heard the things that he did. They came unto him. Did you read 9 yet? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, so he spoke to his disciples. Where was he here?
He
ordered up a small ship.
In a small ship. What sea was he at?
There it is.
Sea of Galilee. There it is, right there. He was in a small ship.
We've been on Galilee.
And they should wait on him because of the multitude. Lest what?
They got around him.
Why did he go to the small ship? This verse explains it.
To get away from the multitude.
They didn't want to throw him. So he took a little, probably set himself out maybe 15, 20 feet off the shore, just so they couldn't get at him. Did we read 10 yet?
No.
Well, let's read 10, 11, and 12 together. And he had healed many, and so much that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down beside him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. Like verse 10, what did the Lord Jesus do to these that had the sickness? Do you many?
He was trying to get away.
All right.
But they were wanting to touch him.
What does it mean they pressed him?
They wanted to be cured.
They came so close. Well,
that was the throng.
The throng?
They pressed him, they pushed
him. They came close to him. And what did they want to do?
Just to touch him.
In verse 10, they wanted to touch him. As many as had what? So they're different people. They came to be healed. They came for healing, apparently, the sick people. And what else in verse 11? What other kind of sickness or malady did these people have?
Unclean
spirits. Devilish demon spirits were there. Diabolical spirits.
And when they saw Jesus, the unclean spirits and the people fell down.
All right. And cried, saying what?
Thou art the Son of God.
Now, these unclean spirits that are from the devil knew that he was the Son of God. But in next verse 12, what did the Lord Jesus not want these unclean spirits to do?
To
make him known. I don't know why.
Don't make him known. In other words, did he want unclean spirits to testify of him? No. See, God, even though they had the truth, they didn't want the truth coming out of an unclean spirit's mouth. And we've got to be very careful who proclaims the gospel of Christ. Unclean people proclaim it, that's horrible. This is what he wants, straightly.
We can't stop. What is,
well, we can't stop them, but that's what the Lord wants, not to proclaim unclean spirits. He wants to have clean spirit, clean people to be his witnesses of testimony, not some unclean, devilish person to preach him the gospel. See, that's not the way to go. Straightly means what? Immediately. Charge them means what? How much does it cost?
No, he's talking to.
What does it mean? Commanded
them. He said, I'm going to tell you this. Don't tell anybody what I did.
Commanded them. Should I make them know? We read 13 yet?
Mm-mm.
All right, let's read 13, 14, and 15. And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he sought. And they came unto him. They ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he taught them forth to preach, and to give power to heal sicknesses, and to cast out devils. Right, verse 13. Where did the Lord Jesus go now?
Now he went to a mountain.
To a mountain. Right? He was at the Sea of Galilee. And then, see, he got one of the mountains up either here or somewhere. Probably there must have been a mountain somewhere in that area.
Mountains all over the place, aren't there?
Yeah.
Was it? Aren't there mountains all over the region?
There's a lot of regions, a lot of mountainous regions.
There's probably
about
a hill.
I'm not sure just what's mountain, but he went to a mountain away from the sea. And that was verse 13, yes. And who did he call?
Anybody wants to come up.
I had many who wanted to. And did they answer the call?
Yes.
Yeah.
They came unto him. And what did he do in verse 14?
We had danger.
Yeah, Barbara, you had something?
Yeah. He calleth unto him whom he would.
Mm-hmm.
And they came unto him, and he ordained 12. Did he just call the 12? Were they just the whom he would? Or did he call a bunch of people and then ordain 12?
I think he called a bunch of people, then ordained 12. Whom he would. And of the ones he called, he selected 12.
Okay.
I believe that's what it would be. What did he want these 12 to do in verse 14?
Go forth and preach the gospel.
Okay. He might send them forth to preach. He wanted the missionary. Yeah, what?
Well, in another gospel, doesn't he sees them doing different things and calls them? They weren't in a big crowd, so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I mean, when we got that,
when they originally were called, this is the second calling.
Well, Jesus, you had that in chapter 1 and chapter 2. Okay. And you had, yeah.
So yes. This is just when he had folks to come out up here. Well, they already were decided, he doesn't come here close.
Yes, the five that he called individually, perhaps were in this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, from those, he selected, what does it mean to ordain?
They were in this process.
What is it?
He laid their hands on him.
The verses below say they were in the group.
They were in the group, that's right. They did the one in the group. Okay, so what does it mean ordained?
Especially chose.
He ordered, just like a judge ordered something.
Special choice. Was Judas among the 12?
Yes.
Did he know Judas was a traitor?
Yes.
Why did Judas know?
That the scripture might be fulfilled.
Scripture might be fulfilled, and what else do you think was the reason?
You said so we would be able to be aware as Christians that everyone that's a Christian says they're a Christian that aren't necessarily.
It's a warning, isn't it? It's a warning. If I'm
just scratching my
head. Oh, that's okay. The hand is up. Okay. So they are ordained 12. But be with him, that's the first thing. And preach, and then in verse 15, what else did he give the power to do?
Heal sicknesses.
Heal sicknesses? What else? This was apostolic power. A lot of these people today who are not in this time frame, in the age of grace, after the Bible's complete, all these sign gifts are gone. But in this time when the Lord Jesus was here, these were there. And these people that teach these sign gifts are still with us. These people on the television and the internet, healing and casting out demons. It's not scriptural. It's not right, as we've said many times in 1 Corinthians 13. But he gave the disciples, these apostles, power to heal sicknesses, cast out devils. That was the power. Special gifts that the Lord Jesus gave to them. Did we read 16 yet? Didn't we?
No.
We read 15, did we?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
We just talked about it.
But we never read it yet. I don't know if we read it.
We read it.
We read it too. Well, let's read verse 16, 17, and 18 together. Simon, he named Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder, and Andrew, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite. Okay, 1670. Questions at bfdbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Just say hello. Glad to hear from you. Who was the first one he named?
Simon Peter.
What does Roman Catholic think of Simon Peter?
The first
pope. That's what they think. Who's the next three or two that he named?
James,
son of Zebedee, and John. Who are the top three that went different places together with the Lord?
Peter, James, and John.
Peter, James, and John. Where did they go with the Lord?
Transfiguration.
Transfiguration, there they were. They were leaders, weren't they? Name them. One, two, three. One, two, three. What were they called?
Sons of Thunder.
That's Boanerges. Sons of Thunder. That's, he's serving them. He told them. Why do you suppose he called them Sons of Thunder?
They probably loud.
Probably loud. Boisterous. Had good, sounding voices. They could reach many people. And Sons of Thunder. Did we read 18 yet?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And who else was named here?
Andrew.
Philip. Mm-hmm. Bartholomew.
Matthew.
Thomas.
Andrew, Peter's brother.
James, son of Alphaeus. Thaddeus. Simon the Canaanite.
Simon the Canaanite.
All right. We read that, did we?
Yeah. Simon the Canaanite.
Another Simon. Simon Peter, Simon the Canaanite.
Yeah,
well,
who's he?
I don't know. One of the people is in the list. Let me read 8 and 19 just to get the background. Oh, excuse me, 10.
They were the sons of thunder. It doesn't say they were thunder.
No.
And so it seems like the request that was made, their mother made on their behalf to sit on either side of the Lord, it seems sort of like that maybe that was, could have been part of it.
Well, that's right, but what I'm trying to think is, they took after their father. It's like father, like son. The sons of thunder. He was a thunder. They were sons of thunder. Probably had a thunder voice.
Your mother could have been thunder, too.
She may have been a thunder, too. Are some mothers thunders?
I mean, she was making a very bold request.
Oh, yeah, she was. That's right. Okay. Who in verse 19 was the next one?
Judas.
What is true of Judas in verse 19?
His name was Judas Iscariot.
Iscariot. There's two Judases.
There's another Judas.
There's another Judas. What does it say about Judas Iscariot?
Betrayed him.
What does it mean to betray someone?
Turncoat,
all right. But to betray, you have to know something that nobody else knows, secret, and to betray. So that's what we see, terrible thing that Judas did. Another list of disciples, you have two Judas, another Judas.
Where is that?
It's not listed here. Well, if you all look at Matthew, somebody look at Matthew. 10, 1 to 4, and see if Judas is there. Matthew 10, 1 to 4.
That was strange, he's not in here.
Matthew 10, 1 to 4.
Jude.
Verse 4 is Judas Iscariot. You see him at all there?
Thaddeus.
Simon, Peter, James, John, Alphaeus. If not there, I'd try Luke 6, 12 to 16. Luke 6. Luke 6, 12 to 16. Find Luke, somebody find Luke 6, 12 to 16.
That's all of them. Luke 6, 1.
Luke 6, 12.
And it came to pass in those days that he went into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God.
The disciples, this is Simon, Andrew,
12, John, Simon, Andrew,
14,
James, John,
Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Zebedee, Judas, brother of James, Judas, the brother of James, verse 16, there it is, right there, and Judas Iscariot.
Thaddeus is another name for
him. Yeah, I think so too.
That must be it. Brother of James, so there he is. There are two Judases, Iscariot was one.
So sometimes he's Thaddeus and sometimes he's Judas.
Alright, so we finished the 19.
Mark 3.
Where'd they go after he selected them and ordained them?
A house.
Yeah, to a house. Let's read. We haven't read 20 yet, have we?
No.
Let's go 20, 21, 22 together. And the multitude cometh together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him. For they said, he is beside himself. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. 5:20, where did people go down, and how many were there?
Multitude.
The multitude that came together.
Again.
And were they hungry? What does it mean they could not so much as eat bread?
Well, that's the disciples in the house couldn't eat bread. They were so thronged. Yes?
Could be. They couldn't eat bread. They didn't have time to eat bread. They had no bread to eat. Part of the truth.
Or maybe it means they were too scrunched in that they couldn't even...
That could be. Could be.
Thank you.
Could not eat bread.
Verse
20. Chapter 3, verse 20. And then in verse 21, when his friends heard of it, whose friends were those?
Jesus' friends.
What did they try to do?
Trying to grab him.
Trying to get a hold of
him. They lay hold on him.
He was beside himself. Out of his mind.
Was he beside himself? No, he's not. They had, I wonder if his friends...
Sometimes that's the way friends are.
Sometimes friends think we're crazy, that's right. And sometimes we think crazy things, sometimes we do crazy things.
We are crazy.
And sometimes we might be crazy, all right.
Sometimes it's because we're Christians.
It's
all in the perception.
Because do not Christian beliefs differ widely from secular beliefs?
Yes.
Very widely. And therefore, anybody doesn't agree with the crowd, they think you're off your rocker, you're beside yourself, and you're a little stupid and ignorant and crazy crackpot. All right, so we read 20 and 21. Did we read 22 yet?
No.
We didn't? I'll just read 22, 23, 24. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. They called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. So the scribes, they came down from where?
Jerusalem.
All right, they came from Jerusalem. Why does it say?
Where are they now, these disciples?
Why does it say they came down from Jerusalem?
Because they came down the mountain.
The Jerusalem is a high mountain. They came down from Jerusalem, these scribes. What's that about?
I just wondered where they were when they came down. You know, when we went to Israel, and they showed us where the feeding of the 5,000